Back here at Petco Park, welcoming to our Hamul Casino Resort Padres post-game show here on the Padres Radio Network. Final score today on this Memorial Day, the Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing as the Padres drop this series opener to Philadelphia. A lot to do on our post-game coverage. We'll hear from Padres manager Craig Stammen coming up in a little bit. We'll also recap this game from start to finish. As always, our post-game coverage brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Hey, player. Need a little me time? Hamul Spa was just named one of the top 100 spas in America. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Well, this was the kind of game that was really defined in my mind by one thing and really one stat in this game, and that was the Padres going 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position, 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position in the first five innings of this game. Griffin Canning pitched well enough to win. He was really good, gave up an early home run, gave up a late home run, and that was enough for the Phillies in this game. Jesus Luzardo had the battle out of trouble all outing long and somehow put together six shutout innings on four hits. And again, the Padres, through five innings, were 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position against them. They just had tons and tons of opportunities in this game, including the bases loaded with nobody out in the first inning. They did not score, and that was the story of this game. Schwarber, the early home run, Marsh, the home run later, but the Padres collect no runs on five hits in this game. In fact, the Phillies only had three hits tonight, and two of those were home runs. So good pitching once again. Padres offense continuing to struggle. That has been a theme, certainly for the most part, on this homestand. Struggles with runners in scoring position continues to be a big problem. We'll dive into some of the numbers as we roll along here. But again, Padres going 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position in this game. Phillies only got three, but that was enough here today as the Padres dropped this series opener. They dropped to 31-22. Phillies back at 500 at 27-27. When we come back, we'll recap this one. We'll hear from Craig Stammen coming up in just a little bit. Final score again, Phillies 3, Padres nothing. Our postgame coverage continues after this. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park as the Padres fall today 3-0 in this series opener against the Phillies. We'll go downstairs, hear from Craig Stammen in just a little bit. Full look at the out-of-town scoreboard and much, much more. But first, let's recap this one from start to finish.
Which moments determine the outcome of today's game? We'll paint you a picture with our game highlights on the Padres Radio Network.
Griffin Canning took the mound for the Padres in the top of the first inning today. He retired Trey Turner to begin the game, but then it was Kyle Schwarber.
Here it is on 3-2 again. Schwarber in the air to right field on a line. Castellanos turns to watch, and it's going to go. A line drive home run just over the right field fence. His major league leading 21st home run of the season. And two batters into the game. The Phillies take a 1-0 lead.
That's all Canning allowed in the first inning. Phillies lefty Jesus Luzardo took the mound in the bottom half of the inning. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a leadoff single. Miguel Andujar singled. Xander Bogaerts then hit a ground ball to shortstop. Trey Turner booted it. Everybody was safe. So the Padres had the bases loaded, nobody out. But Luzardo then struck out Manny Machado. He struck out Jackson Merrill. Nick Castellanos grounded out. And the inning was over. Padres came up empty. Padres got the leadoff man on in the second. They did not score. In the third, Padres had another great scoring opportunity. Runners on first and third with one out, but Manny Machado grounded into a double play to end the inning. Through three innings, Padres were 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. Meanwhile, Canning was cruising after allowing the early home run, a 1-2-3 second. Same in the third. He worked around a leadoff walk in the fourth inning, a 1-2-3 top of the fifth inning. Padres still trailed 1-0, going bottom five. Again, Luzardo gave them a good scoring chance. He hit Rodolfo Duran with one out. He walked Fernando Tatis Jr., but then Luzardo induced a pop-out for Miguel Andujar. Xander Bogaerts then hit a fly ball to deep left center. It was caught on the warning track. The inning over. The Padres, to that point, five innings through, were 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position against Luzardo. Both Canning and Luzardo retired the side in order in the sixth inning. Padres still trailed 1-0, going top seven. Canning still working. He had retired 16 of 17 batters since the Schwarber homer in the first, but then Canning allowed a leadoff single to Schwarber, then a walk to Bryce Harper. Alec Bohm grounded into a 6-4-3 double play. Schwarber went to third, so Canning was one out away from getting out of the inning, but Brandon Marsh was next.
Runner on third, two outs. The 2-0 pitch is in the air up the right field line, headed towards the Petco porch. This one gonna go! Brandon Marsh just tucks that one over the wall, and at the very last moment, perhaps, for Griffin Canning, a devastating two-run homer to make it 3-0.
Yeah, Canning so close to getting out of that inning and completing seven really strong innings, but Marsh hitting the home run, that made it a 3-0 Philly lead. Canning would go 6 2/3. He allowed just three hits, two of them home runs. Orion Kerkering struck out two in a perfect bottom half of the seventh inning. Padres still down 3-0 going bottom eight. Right-hander Brad Keller came on for Philly. He issued a leadoff walk to Fernando Tatis Jr. Fernando eventually would get to second base with two outs. He stole third, but Manny Machado struck out to end the inning. Padres still trailed 3-0 going to the bottom half of the ninth inning. That was thanks to Yuki Matsui pitching a scoreless eighth and ninth. In the ninth inning, the very, very good Phillies closer, Joan Duran, came in for Philadelphia. He got two deep flyouts from Merrill and Castellanos. Ty France then hit a two-out single, so the Padres had a little bit of life, but Ramon Laureano struck out with France on second base after defensive indifference. That ended the game, and that was the ball game here today. Final score, Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing. The Padres again going 0-10 with runners in scoring position. The Phillies only had two at-bats with runners in scoring position, and the only hit they had with a runner in scoring position was the Marsh home run. Phillies had three hits in this game, two of them home runs, and it was enough. The final totals, 3 runs, 3 hits, 1 error for Philadelphia. No runs, 5 hits, no errors for San Diego. Padres have dropped 2 in a row. They dropped to 31-22. The Phillies back even at 500 at 27-27. So that's the way this series begins. I do want to remind you, as the series continues tomorrow on Tuesday evening with first pitch at 6:40, very, very cool giveaway tomorrow here at Petco Park. It is the Patriotic Aloha shirt giveaway that'll be given to the first 40,000 fans in attendance. A lightweight and festive shirt highlighting the Padres military logos. It also has sort of an American flag on it. It's an Aloha shirt, so it has the flowers, perfect for holidays and Sunday games in particular, as it celebrates America's upcoming 250th birthday. That's a Padres-themed Patriotic Aloha shirt. That giveaway tomorrow, again, goes to the first 40,000 fans in attendance, so be sure to get here early tomorrow and get that Patriotic Aloha shirt. And should be a fun one tomorrow here at Petco Park. Despite the Padres dropping this series opener against the Philadelphia Phillies, again, the final score, Phillies 3, Padres nothing. We'll hear postgame reaction from Padres manager Craig Stammen when we come back to Petco Park. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park. Final score once again here today, the Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing. We'll go downstairs here from Padres manager Craig Stammen coming up in just a moment, so stay tuned for that. We'll have a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard coming your way as well. No way around it. It was not a pretty offensive game for the Padres. They had 5 hits in this game. That actually was more than the Phillies did. They had 3, but the major issue today, Padres 0-10 with runners in scoring position. They were 0-6 with runners in scoring position in the first 3 innings, 0-8 in the first 5 innings, and all those opportunities coming against left-hander Jesus Luzardo on the mound for the Phillies. And look, anyway, a slice of, and we talked about it pregame today. Look, the Padres have picked up some wins on this nine-game homestand. They're now 3-4 on this homestand, so still an opportunity to make it a winning homestand. However, their offense, really throughout the homestand, it has struggled. Padres have now scored 2 runs or fewer in 5 of their past 7 games, all here at home. And after today, in the 7 games on this homestand, the Padres are now 2-36 with runners in scoring position in these seven games. 2 for 36 in the last seven games with runners in scoring position. Now, let me repeat it. To their credit, they found a way to win three of these games out of the seven so far, but it has been a struggle for the offense. Obviously, some big-time opportunities today for guys in the middle of the order. You look at the first inning, Padres had the bases loaded with nobody out. Machado strikes out, Merrill strikes out, Castellanos grounds out. Then the Padres had runners at first and third. In the third, Manny grounds into a double play to end the inning. They had two on in the fifth inning with one out, did not score, and then Manny strikes out in the eighth inning with a runner on third base. At that point, the game is 3-0, so still within range for sure. So tough day for Manny, certainly. He had three at-bats with runners in scoring position, went 0 for 3, went 0 for 4 on the day. And look, up and down the lineup, obviously a real struggle today with RISP. Griffin Canning was good in this game. He really was. He gave up the early home run to Schwarber. But between that and the start of the seventh inning, Canning retired 16 of 17 batters faced after that Schwarber home run. And then he got into trouble in the seventh inning, the Schwarber single, then a walk to Harper, got a big double play from Bohm to make it two outs with a runner on third, but then Marsh took him deep, and unfortunately that made it a 3-0 game. But look, Canning's final line tells most of the story. He was good in this game. I mean, it was almost seven innings of one-run ball. He goes 6 2/3 innings, three runs given up, but Canning does drop to 0-3 as a Padre in this game here today on the losing end, despite what was a really, really nice outing today against a good Philly lineup for Griffin Canning. With all that in mind, let's go downstairs. Here's some post-game reaction.
Let's pull up a seat in the manager's office and hear from Padres skipper Craig Stammen, served up by Sin Lee Food. If you've had better chicken, you must be a rooster.
What did you make of Griffin Canning's day today?
Yeah, he pitched great today. Outside of, you know, two pitches he'd probably like to have back, he did exactly what we needed today. We kind of had a short bullpen, and you know, he got us into the seventh inning, almost got us through the seventh inning. So big outing for him, you know, saving that bullpen and really giving us a chance to win.
That was the deepest he's gone since 2024, September of 2024. What is the value of him being able to provide that to you guys moving forward?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, we rely on our bullpen a lot, and there's got to be times where our starters pick up a little bit of the load. We talk about the pitching staff not just being starters and relievers, but a pitching staff together that works together to get through the season, and they've done a great job of that this year, and Griff being able to go long today was a big part of that.
This feel like one of those where you had a good starter kind of backed against the corner early, and then he was able to get through.
Yeah, we're doing everything right except that big hit. We're just missing it right now, and we're not quite punching through when we need to. You know, the season has its ebbs and flows, the roller coaster ride of good and bad, and right now we're just not able to come through in that big moment, but, you know, those times are coming.
Is like runners in scoring position, I know that you were a pitcher, but like, does it feel like one of those things that comes in bunches? Because this is a bunch.
Yeah, you're right. And then I think we had been pretty good throughout the year in these types of situations. And then here of late, it's just gotten a little frustrating, you know, and we just haven't been able to get that big hit. We've had a lot of great at-bats. We're running the bases well and running them hard and getting on any way we can. We just, you know, we got to cross that last base a little bit more often.
Have you noticed the runners in scoring position, like maybe you guys pressing at the plate, given kind of how much it's come in bunches recently?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we're doing the same things that we've always done. You know, these guys were probably pressing a lot earlier than just this weekend, you know, in those types of situations, and they were coming through. You know, that we talked about this, you know, a while back when we were getting those big hits in those situations, that we weren't going to get this lucky all the time, and now, you know, that's evening out a little bit.
I know you've called it 1 through 8, 1 through 10, whatever, in your bullpen, but there's a guy who wasn't maybe all that reliable all the time, and Yuki has had a phenomenal season. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, he has had a phenomenal season. You know, he put in a lot of work this offseason, trained the entire offseason, had a tough spring training, got hurt right away, and had a couple injuries. And then he went down and went to work, went to El Paso. We kept him down there for basically as long as we could, and he didn't say boo. He came up, and, you know, we prepared him to be able to pitch more than one inning. He did it 3 or 4 times down in El Paso, and he's come up, and he's been really big for us, saving the bullpen. You know, same thing I said about Ron Marinaccio last night. It's always good when you have more than one of those guys in the bullpen willing to take the ball in any situation and provide innings for you, and then also come along with it and provide scoreless innings for you. And Yuki's been able to do that and do it very well.
Aside from believing those big hits will eventually come, what's your assessment of just the offense overall on Memorial Day? A lot of people kind of use this data, as you know, to kind of assess things and see what's real or what's not.
What was your question again on that? Like,
what is your overall assessment of the offense?
My overall assessment of the offense? Well, we're not as good as we expected right now. We haven't been scoring as many runs as we've come accustomed to with this type of players in the lineup. They know it. We know it. The whole world knows it. We keep talking about it every day. We keep trying new things and new ideas, and we keep working our tails off. And that's one thing that these guys have done over the course of the season is they have worked their butt off. And they have worked on the little things, and that's how we've won so many games. They've found a way to work on the be great at the little things that have helped us win games, win close games. Eventually, we're going to break through, and we're going to have these guys hitting on all cylinders. Right now is not when it's happening, but hopefully soon.
What's the concern level when it's been a third of the season, though? Like, at this point, that's a pretty large sample size.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next two-thirds of the season. It's going to be great.
That was Padres manager Craig Stammen following this 3-0 loss to the Phillies here at Petco Park. Sam Levitt back with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building as we continue to wrap this one up. Our post-game coverage, as always, brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. A lot of questions there, especially at the end, about the state of the Padres offense, and we went over the runners and scoring position numbers both here today and throughout this homestand. It has not been pretty. The questions I think are fair. You're looking at it now. We're essentially a third of the way through the season. It is Memorial Day, which, to Dennis Lynn, who asked the questions there, his point, it is kind of one of those benchmark, points of the year, where you kind of, it's the unofficial start of summer. You're a third of the way through the season. So, it's officially, I think, when you get to Memorial Day weekend, it's officially not early anymore, right? You're a week or so away from June. You've got a third of the season under your belt. And look, for the Padres, big-time offensive players, it has not been a great start. And I don't think there's any way really around that, right? I mean, I won't dive into all the numbers right now. I gave you those kind of extended runners and scoring position numbers. But just think about really, a couple of things here. I mean, Jackson Merrill, he's now batting under 200. He's at 198 after today. He took an 0-for-4 today. Manny Machado, he's hit some home runs, but Manny's batting 170. Again, I mean, we're at Memorial Day. And Fernando Tatis Jr., to his credit, was on four times today, had two more hits. Look, Fernando, I'll give him credit on this. Despite the lack of slug and having no home runs on May 25th, we've talked plenty about all that. You can say this about Fernando. He, two things. Number one, he continues to get on base, and he continues to find ways to collect hits, even though he's not hitting it over the fence. And many of the hits are not for extra bases, but he is getting on base a lot. And he plays great defense. I mean, his defense at second base has been stellar. You would never know that guy never played second base before this season. So I want to give Fernando credit for that. But look, I mean, Fernando's still sitting without a home run. You've got Xander, who got off to a really good start. He's having a fairly rough month of May. Laureano's hitting .208. I mean, again, these are guys, and you heard Craig say it there. It's not what you expected offensively. It just isn't, individually and collectively right now. A third of the way through doesn't mean the last two-thirds of the season aren't going to be a whole lot better. You certainly hope they will be, as Craig alluded to there at the end. But, when you're looking at, Manny at 170, Merrill at 198, Tatis with no home runs, Laureano at 208, and I get, for those of you out there screaming at the radio right now, I get batting averages are not in the modern game. That's not, everything. I get that. I'm just using it to give you just a quick snapshot, okay? Yeah, I mean, it's not what you expect from those guys. So, look, we've maintained this, I think, a lot of us for a while here now. The Padres as a unit, as a team, have done a remarkable job at winning games, despite offensively them not looking the way you expected them at the start of the season to look. They've done, to their credit, a remarkable job at coming into today 10 games above 500. But you do think, and I think baseball has told us this, you know, over the course of, 100 plus years, you know, you would expect that they will need those guys if they want to keep winning at this kind of clip. They will need those guys to get it going. Now, that's not a guarantee. For all I know, they're going to keep rolling and sitting 10 plus games above 500. Maybe they will, but you know, we're still waiting for those guys to kick it into a higher gear, and you have to hope that the next two-thirds of the season offensively will look different than the first third of the season has, and we shall see. But obviously, you know, I think Craig put it well there. It's not what they expected heading into the year from an offensive standpoint. And today, I think in particular, sort of illuminated the whole issue because, you know, they didn't score any runs, they got shut out, and they had major opportunities in this game and went 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. So feels like today kind of magnifies the issue a little bit. So we'll see if the Padres can bounce back tomorrow in the middle game of this series. When we come back, we'll get into our daily awards. We'll have a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard coming up a little bit later as well. If you want to squeeze a phone call in, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, the phone number to dial if you want to get involved. Phillies 3, Padres nothing, the final score on this Memorial Day at Petco Park. We're back after this. Final score here today, Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing. Game 2 of this 3-game series tomorrow at 6:40. And, of course, our pregame coverage will begin at 5:40. Don't forget, tomorrow, cool giveaway here at Petco Park for the second game of this 3-game series. The Padres-themed patriotic Aloha shirt giveaway. That'll go to the first 40,000 fans in attendance tomorrow. A lightweight and festive shirt highlighting the Padres military logos, perfect for holidays and Sunday games. I'm taking a look at it right now. Very cool with the floral element to it, with the Aloha shirt, Padres logo, an American flag. They've got some military jets on it, baseballs. It's very, very cool. So very cool giveaway tomorrow against the first 40,000 fans in attendance. If you want to find out more about the giveaway tomorrow, you can, as always, go to Padres.com/giveaways, and you'll see a picture of the patriotic Aloha shirt along with all the other great giveaways coming up as the season rolls along here at Petco Park. Let's tell you about today's relief pitcher of the game.
Which pitcher entered the game and slammed the door shut? This is today's relief pitcher of the game, brought to you by San Diego criminal defense attorney David P. Shapiro. We help good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime. Learn more at DavidPShapiroLaw.com.
Relief pitcher of the game here today, no doubt about it, will stay on the Padres side of things. Yuki Matsui, two scoreless innings out of the pen. Yuki, as we heard from Craig Stammen there, did a lot of work in the offseason. He's looked great when he's had opportunities. He really has. Two scoreless innings today in the eighth and the ninth. And hey, it was only a 3-0 game when he came in. So there's a world where the Padres come back, win this game, and you're looking at those two scoreless innings for Yuki Matsui in a really, really, really big way if the Padres could have mustered up some runs today. But you look at Yuki Matsui, what he's done. I mean, how about this? Six appearances in, 12 innings, no runs, 5 hits, 13 strikeouts in 12 innings for Yuki. So it's been marvelous so far. He's done a great job when he's had opportunities, and good stuff from Yuki Matsui, a 0 ERA now, 6 appearances and 12 innings in. Let's tell you about the Padres' heart of the order.
Let's take the pulse of the Padres and check in on the Heart of the Order, presented by Palomar Health, the official healthcare provider of 97.3 The Fan. Palomar Health, leading with heart for every patient. Palomar Health is reimagining healthcare.
Part of the order here today, well, it's not particularly pretty. Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill, 3, 4, 5 spots. They went a combined 0-for-12 with 5 strikeouts in this game. So not great from the heart of the order today. As you know, not a great day for the Padres offense collectively with the no runs and the 0-for-10 with the RISP. Hopefully a better day for the heart of the order tomorrow. All right, let's squeeze in a phone call or two here. We'll have a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard coming your way on the other side of our next break. But let's get a phone call or two in here. Let's go to Danny calling in, just leaving the ballpark. Danny, you're on the Padres Radio Network. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yep, got you, Danny.
Hey, so I was at the game today with my family, and I'm a long-time Padres fan. And knowing that these guys have had their offensive struggles, you know, up to this point in the season, and I understand it's early in the game, but history is showing us this year that we are having a hard time executing in the ballgame. Bases loaded, no outs in the first inning. I know we have our number three hitter up there. Why not put a bunt down? I know it's Manny Machado. He's batting a .170. Let's get that run back, right? And, hey, even if it's a double play, we're still tied. Next inning, first and third, one out. Throw another bunt down. Sometimes the bunts get things going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Danny, let me just specify, though. So you're saying in the first inning today with the bases loaded, with Manny up, with the bases loaded and nobody out, you wanted Manny to put a bunt down?
I would consider it, knowing okay. The history in the last series going up into this game. We had scored, one or two runs against the A's in one of the games. We looked a little shoddy yesterday. There's a feel on this team, right? And sometimes as a manager, you know, you kind of have to take the bat out of the player's hands sometimes, honestly. I know that you were expecting these guys to do big things, and they have done big things, but there's a feel for the team, right? And sometimes the manager's got to help them with that. Again, I know it's early. Normally situations like that, you're going to do it later in the game, but there's just a feel about these guys.
All right, Danny, appreciate the phone call. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. Look, I understand the general premise of what you're saying. And I actually think the general premise is not a bad idea. Look, I'm probably more than most a fan of a squeeze play. I kind of like a squeeze play. And I think if you can get a good bunt down, it works. Look, in the first inning in particular, let's just take it a little bit situation by situation. In the first inning in particular, you've got the bases loaded with nobody out. You're asking a guy who never puts down a bunt in Manny to put down a bunt. You've also got to force it home in that spot, and you've got the infield for the Phillies playing back. So even if Manny hits into a double play, you're getting a run home. And if he strikes out, all right, you still got one out with Merrill coming up. So I don't think that was the moment to do it, especially when you have the force play at home and you've got a guy in Manny who never puts down a bunt up there. I don't think that was the moment to do it. However, I'll take your point and kind of expand it out. I don't mind the idea of it when you're struggling to generate offense of throwing down a bunt, a squeeze play. Look, a spot where it probably made more sense, again, you know, in the third inning, are you asking Manny to put a bunt down with runners on first and third? I don't see that they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to do that. Is it an idea? Could be. You know, would it have prevented him from hitting into a 6-4-3 double play to end the inning? Yes. You know, I just think you got to be a little realistic about, you know, the experience of laying down a bunt. And again, I'll just look at the first inning in particular. It's not the spot where you're going to do it with the force play. But Danny, I generally, trying to spark the offense a little bit, even generate a run via a squeeze play, I don't think it's a bad idea. I like a squeeze play, but I don't know that, you know, either of the situations with Manny up there are the spots to do it. I mean, when's the last time Manny laid down a bunt? You're kind of asking him to go well outside his comfort zone in that kind of spot. So, and I think the first inning one in particular, you got a force play at home plate. And, you know, again, even if he hits into a double play there with the infield back, you're still getting a run. All right, let's squeeze in one more phone call here. Let's go to, hold on one second, let me pull up the name. Let's go to Tom calling in from Vista. Hi, Tom. Welcome in. Go ahead.
Hey, Sammy. How you doing? Hey, I was unfortunately not able to even listen to the game today. I've been out on volunteering for the Division I NCAA championships, and I was. But I swear that Randy Vasquez was supposed to start today. What happened?
You know what, Tom, and appreciate the phone call. You know what? There was. How do I put this? I don't want to say misinformation. I don't know how they got it wrong on some of the online sites. I don't know. I don't know why it happened, but I will tell you it was Griffin Canning starting today the whole time. We said it yesterday, Griffin Canning was starting. I don't know why the apparently on the app online it said it was going to be Randy Vasquez. He's pitching tomorrow. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you. All I can tell you was that everybody internally was on the same page that it was Canning on the mound today. The Padres listed Canning on the game notes for today when they put him out yesterday. So, Tom, it's a good question. I kind of thought there might be some people confused when they got to the ballpark because I think as late as this morning, it still listed Vasquez for today's starter, but it was Canning. I don't have a good answer for you why that was wrong in a lot of different places today, but it was Canning. And I did hear about that it had listed Randy Vasquez for a while. All right, let's step aside when we come back. Full look at the out-of-town scoreboard, and we'll wrap things up, get you ready for game two of this series tomorrow. Padres fall 3-0 at Petco Park today on the Padres Radio Network. Sam Levitt with you inside the loft here at the Western Metal Building at Petco Park. Hey, player, the rooftop pool's open, day passes are available, and the spa is calling your name. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Final score today, Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing. Let's give you a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard.
Let's take a trip around the bigs to highlight the scores that matter most with our out-of-town scoreboard. Presented by Jensen Premium Beef Patties. Always a hit for grilling.
We have a trio of ball games still going on. Marlins lead the Blue Jays in Toronto 8-2 in the ninth inning. The Dodgers lead the Rockies 1-0 in L.A. in the fourth inning. And the Mariners and A's are scoreless in Sacramento in the second. Everything else has gone final on this Memorial Day. The Cubs and Pirates in Pittsburgh today. They were tied at 1-1 in the seventh inning. Henry Davis came up.
Here's a set in 1-1. Swinging a high fly ball, deep left field, half back to the wall, there it goes! Henry Davis puts the Pirates in the lead with a two-out homer here in the seventh.
Joe Block on the call, Pirates radio, Henry Davis, a solo home run, fourth of the season, puts the Pirates ahead 2-1. They go on to win by that final score. The Orioles and the Rays in Baltimore today, they played a real doozy of a ball game, went 13 innings. The Orioles were trailing 7-5 in the bottom half of the 13th inning. They scored two runs to tie it, and then it was Colton Cowser.
The 2-1. Cowser drives it right center field. That ball is back, and that ball is gone! What a weekend for Colton Cowser! A two-time holiday hero!
Orioles radio on the call there. Colton Cowser, a walk-off two-run home run. Orioles beat the Rays in 13 innings, 9-7. By the way, that's a win for the Pirates against the Cubs. Cubs have now lost 9 games in a row. Yikes. White Sox beat the Twins in Chicago today 3-1. Munetaka Murakami hit his 18th home run of the season in that game. He is now the American League leader, moving one ahead of Aaron Judge. The Brewers beat the Cardinals 5-1 in Milwaukee. Christian Yelich a home run in that game. Anthony Volpe a two-run single in the ninth inning for the Yankees. They beat the Royals today 4-3. Reds beat the Mets 7-2 in New York today. Diamondbacks over the Giants in San Francisco 6-2. Nationals beat the Guardians 10-2 in Cleveland. The Astros blanked the Rangers in Arlington 9-0. And that is a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard on this Memorial Day. And by the way, Marlins and Blue Jays, that game just went final. Marlins beating the Blue Jays 8-2. Final score here at Petco Park today, Phillies 3 and the Padres nothing. Let's hear today's play of the game.
One bounce, one hit, one pitch can be the difference between victory and defeat. What was the most important play in today's game? This is today's Play of the Game, presented by PhilHealth Plumbing, Heating and Air Restoration and Flood. We know how.
Runner on third, two outs. The 2-0 pitch is in the air up the right field line, headed towards the Petco porch. This one gonna go. Brandon Marsh just tucks that one over the wall. And at the very last moment, perhaps, for Griffin Canning, a devastating two-run homer to make it 3-0.
Well, unfortunately, that was our play of the game. The Brandon Marsh two-run home run against Griffin Canning in the seventh inning. Yeah, it felt like kind of a backbreaker there. Canning had been really, really good to that point and given up just one run in 6 2/3 innings. But with two outs and the runner on third base, Canning fell behind Marsh 2-0 and then threw a slider to Marsh on 2-0, you know, it's kind of low and in right of the swing path of Brandon Marsh, and he hit it out to right field, just got out. Second home run of the day for the Phillies. They took a 3-0 lead, and they would go on to win by that final score. So, unfortunately, here today, that was our play of the game. All right, looking ahead to tomorrow, first pitch at 6:40 p.m. Our pregame coverage begins at 5:40. Right-hander Aaron Nola on the mound for the Phillies. Right-hander Randy Vasquez on the mound for the Padres tomorrow. By the way, once again, just to remind you, because I do want to make sure you're aware of really what's a great giveaway tomorrow. It is the Padres Patriotic Aloha shirt giveaway to the first 40,000 fans in attendance tomorrow. A lightweight and festive shirt highlighting the Padres military logo has the floral element to it as well, the Aloha shirt element to it. It's got an American flag on it, and very, very cool shirt. Perfect for holidays and Sunday games. Perfect shirt to wear. Kind of looks like to me you'd wear it to the beach, maybe a barbecue, a cookout, something like that. So, again, Patriotic Aloha shirt giveaway tomorrow to the first 40,000 fans in attendance here at Petco Park. As always, if you missed any portion of our post-game coverage, you can go back and listen to all of it on the Inside San Diego Baseball podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. You can also go back on the 97.3 The Fan YouTube channel and watch any portion of our post-game coverage there as well. Taking a look at the final totals here today for the Phillies, 3 runs, 3 hits, 1 error they left on 2. For the Padres, no runs, 5 hits, no errors they left on 8. Winning pitcher today, Jesus Luzardo, who improves to 4-4. The losing pitcher was Griffin Canning, who drops to 0-3. And the save goes to Joan Duran, picks up his 10th save of the season. Time of game, 2 hours and 27 minutes in the crowd here at Petco Park on this Memorial Day 2026. 41,293, the 24th sellout of the season. Once again, first pitch tomorrow, 6:40 p.m. Our pregame coverage begins at 5:40. Until then, for our great studio coordinator, Kyle Ovenshire, I'm Sam Levitt, saying so long from Petco Park. Again, the final score today, the Philadelphia Phillies 3 and the San Diego Padres nothing. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Padres Radio Network. Have a great rest of your Memorial Day.